Thanks a lot. Thank you. I just want to mention that, you know, I'm kind of oblivious to things here in the church, and I sit down and I see these beautiful banners here. I didn't see that there before, and so I assume the Lois Caparis, where's Lois? Is she Lois? Where is your Lois? And see, she's in the front row, and I'm looking, who knows? You did those, didn't you? Look at those, serving as senders, serving as goers. And that was our banner last year, which is Christ to a World in Crisis. So that's beautiful. We really thank you very much. And I do want to mention just briefly, when we woke up this morning, there was an email from the cops who are missionaries that we support in the Hewa people. And unfortunately said there's been a tragic murder in their village there. A man was massacred to death, and now there is a big outcry of inner tribal killing, and the missionaries have to leave. So they've had tremendous progress there. People have come to the Lord. They're in Bible studies, and the Lord wants to do anything He can to disrupt it. So let's pray for a minute. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning for people in Papua New Guinea, for the Hewa tribe, and the hate and the anger, and again, that the devil would love to destroy people and destroy lives, and he came to kill and to murder and to steal, and yet your Son came to give life and to restore and to heal. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be merciful to these people and quiet their hearts and their anger and subdue them miraculously so that they would hear again about the salvation and forgiveness and love and healing. And so, Lord, we commit them to you this morning. We don't know what you're going to do, but we want to see you involved in it. And we pray having mercy on these people and on us this morning as well. Hear us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we are continuing the third sermon in a series of sermons. I mean, we're having a long series of messages called The Names of a Believer. And so we're doing this till the end of April, the different names that are given to us as believers. We are Christians. We are called sons of God. We are called heirs of God. We are called a new creation. We did that on New Year's Day. And then for 3 weeks, we've been looking at three different passages. And since we are a new creation, the first one we looked at, this was 2 weeks ago, is that I am doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. These are sort of themes for the coming year. That I am, God is giving me what I need to do and what I'm going to do for Him. God is helping me, that I am doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, there's a tape of that for about 50 minutes if you want to hear that. And then last week we looked at, I am, in this year of 2006, I am casting all my anxiety, all my cares upon the Lord because He cares for me, upon Him because He cares for me. That's another great thing, is that you're able to cast your concerns. The reason it's called a care is because you're carrying it. But you don't need to carry it because there's someone who wants to carry it for you. He's big enough to do it and to be able to trust it and put it into the hands of Jesus Christ Himself. And so we looked at that last week as well. And again, I want to emphasize that when a year ago we looked at the different names of Jesus, you know, He's very famous at these I ams. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection, the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Well, I am casting all my cares upon the Lord. I am doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. So this morning, the third one is, I am having all of my needs supplied according to God's riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So this is what we are as a new creation. I am having all my needs cared for me, supplied to me, given to me, according to the riches of glory which is in Jesus Christ. So, this is the passage we're going to look at this morning. Again, let's look at the context. This verse is actually kind of in the context that starts in Philippians 4 and verse 10. Paul is in prison. It's the year 61. It's his at least first or second imprisonment. We're not sure exactly. But Philippians 4, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last You have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. So he's writing the Philippian church. He says, you know, I know that you cared for me. You know, he was the one that planted this church. You know, the famous earthquake, and the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And so there's a church planted there. Paul gave birth to this church by the Holy Spirit. He discipled them. He nurtured them. He loved them. And they wanted to show that same love to them. I mean, if you always love the person that has brought you to Christ. Keith Gates is the one that led me to Christ, and I call him up almost every May and thank him for sharing the gospel with me. And so they had a concern. He says, at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but there was no need for you to show how you could reach out to me. But at last they had a concern. And so what they did is that they took up an offering. They wanted to help Paul. They wanted to support him. And so he says, you yourselves also know, Philippians 4:15, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. When I was out as a only missionary out there with Barnabas or with another companion, and I came to you and I went to Macedonia, you immediately responded to me and you shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, and you were the only one that did it. You are the church that responded to me and showed your commitment to me in helping me to find my meal and housing with money that I could continue my journey. No one else did that but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my need. Here I was in Thessalonica, and I received a messenger, and he brought money. And then a next week after another Lord's Day, another messenger came and I received. I was in Thessalonica and you helped me and responded to me twice, more times, more than once for my need. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Not that I'm looking out that I'm telling you I need more money. But you realize when you give, you're investing in an account. What's your account? What's in your wallet, right? The advertisement. You know that Jesus said, when you give a cup of cold water in my name, a cup of cold water in your name. My friend, when you give to the Lord's work, it's not lost. It's an investment. Jesus says, invest in the things that the treasures where rust and moth does not destroy, nor thieves can break in. Investment. Look what he says. For I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Think of that song about a person that says, you know, I was in heaven and I met you and you came and a missionary came about some people in Papua New Guinea called the Haywas, and you gave to it and you prayed for it. And you prayed on a Sunday morning for a civil war going on and destroying, and God did something miraculous. You were the one that prayed in that little church in Mesa, Arizona. You are the one that gave to that missionary to go in that place. You are the one that helped the Gideons to supply Bibles in a hotel room and helped me not to commit suicide. You think that happens? You better believe it. And thank God that God, who knows everything, and God is omniscient, and God is all powerful, imagine he won't forget any of that. Imagine that. Imagine that. Not one thing we do in commitment to serving and honoring Jesus Christ is lost. Not one thing we do. But I have received everything in full. So now he's saying, I've got another gift. The Philippians sent a gift. I have received everything in full. Having an abundance, I am amply supplied. You have no idea how I've been blessed. I have food. You've cared for me. I'm amply supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Wow. Now, this is a man who could speak this way. This is a Jew who said, you brought this offering, and this offering was a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You know what that's a reference to? This is a reference to Exodus when God was telling the people of Israel about bringing a sacrifice. Look what he says. You shall offer up in smoke the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Because what we offer to God, well pleasing in his sight, is pleasing to the Lord. We offer these things to God, not for ourself, not for our wants, not for our own consumption. James says, you have not because you ask not, because you ask with wrong motives, that you can consume it on yourself. But when we do things selflessly for the things of Christ, he says, this is an offering, a soothing aroma, well-pleasing to God. And then he says, finally, and my God shall supply, will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So here he's saying to them, listen, this is, you know what you've done. Let me tell you what God will do, what God will do. So let's look at this verse and to see this as a third of these series of the themes that he's given to us. So first I want to start off by showing to you and to me, of course, I'm not going to do it in the order, but I'm going to just bring up certain sections, how it's pieced together, that God is going to supply all of your needs, all of your needs. In Philippians 4:11, he says, not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. You know, what you want is selfish. What you want is your own myopic view of what you think you need. But that's not what you need. God always will give to you what you need. A need is something that God will respond to. A want is something that you think you have a certain need for. The world wants certain things. What does the world want? It wants its lust. It wants its materialism. It wants its possessions. It wants its power. It wants its money. And look at the world state. We know the passage that I just quoted. What is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wages war in your members? What is the source of the quarrels and conflicts among you? It is the pleasures. You want certain things. You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And then you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Paul never talks about what he wants. He always talks about what he needs. What he needs. God says, you need a trial. Oh, Lord, I don't want a trial. Why does James say that a trial is good for us? Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse trials, because it is the testing of your faith, and your faith will produce endurance, and endurance perseverance, and perseverance character, and character godliness. That's what you need. That's what you need. Look what Jesus said here. Do not worry then, saying what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear for clothing. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things. God knows what you need, but God's not going to give you what you want. God will supply all of your needs according to his riches. We're going to talk about what that means. The Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Look in this passage. This is about Paul, and Paul is writing this because he experienced it. The Lord said to him, this is to Ananias, who was going to go to Paul when he was converted, for he, Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. This is what he's going to do. This is what he's going to do. And as he does these things for me, as he bears my name, as he comes before Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, as he goes out to be the first missionary, as he stands before the Caesars, as he stands before the Jews in Jerusalem, he's going to have some needs. You know why? Look at the next verse. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. While he does verse 15, Paul is going to experience verse 16. And in doing verse 15 and 16, he realized that God is going to take care of all of his needs. Listen to these words that I wrote down, if you can. God will always respond to your need, not to your wants. God will always respond to your needs and not to your wants. God will supply everything that you need. God will always supply everything that you need. God knows what you need, and you think you know what you want, and the two don't match. The point is this: you need forgiveness, God can supply all the forgiveness you need. You want certain ambitions, I'm not quite sure that that's what God is going to respond to with your want. This is very important, because as Paul was following the Lord and doing these mission work and going out and following the Lord in this way, certain crises came up, certain needs came up, certain problems came up, and God took care of every one of them. He looked at what he needed and God took care of it, not what he wanted, and God would there respond to that in that way and in that circumstance. You know, the famous verses in the Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, one person once said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. That's all I want." You see, that's where you use the word want. All I want is God to be involved in what I need. My friend, that's what this verse is about. Can I repeat that again? All you want, and Paul is saying this, all you want is for God to be responding to what I need. And God's going to do that. God's going to do that. God's committed to that. And we're going to talk about that. So you have a need. A need. And many times I look at needs, there are things almost that come to us outside of ourselves. A trial, a situation, a crisis, and whatever it may be. Now, certain things can be due to consequences of your own and my own stupidity and sin. You know what I mean? We create certain things that we create our bed and we have to lie in it. But many times, as Paul is doing these journeys, he was in a shipwreck. He was in this, and he wasn't looking for that. God says, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. And God is going to respond to every one of our needs as God is committed to do that in your life and my life. He's committed to it. So, look at the verse again. My God will supply all your needs. My God will. It's not that he might. It's not that God could supply. You know, God could supply. You know, it's not that God, you know that God can supply. He is willing to do it. And that's always the big question that we ask many, many times in your life and my life. Lord, I know you can do it. I know you have the ability to do it. I know you can have the supply to do it. But will you do it? Will you do it? And I remember specifically where I was, if I can say this without being weird, but on 340 Passaic Avenue, in an evening, in my bathtub, taking a bath because we didn't have a shower, reading this verse, and it literally changed my life about this view of my attitude of Jesus Christ. It's right here. This is right after the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 8. He just preached all these highfalutin truths, right, which we love, the Sermon on the Mount. All these great things about the kingdom of God. And what it is, not to lust in your heart and cutting off your right hand and plucking out your right eye, and the parables and the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And he comes right down off this glorious sermon, and he came down from the mountain, and a large crowd followed him, and a leper came to Jesus, and he bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And I'll never forget in my bathtub, Lord, if you're willing. He didn't say, if you can, that's not the issue. If you're able, that's not the issue. If you might do it, that's not the issue. If you have the supply to do it, that's not the issue. But are you willing to do it? Because I always lived in those other realms. I lived in the realm of God can do it. God is able to do it. God has the supply to do it. God might do it. But I never could get beyond the threshold to get it. You will do it. Until that night, in that bathtub, not to be gross, I'm telling you honestly, And Jesus, stretching out his hand and touched him, and he says, I'm willing. I'm willing. I am willing. My friend, you and I have to see how willing God is. God is willing. He is willing to take care of your needs. I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. You know, you couldn't touch a leper. You couldn't get near a leper. A man had to go around announcing leprosy, leprosy, unclean, unclean, unclean. Even getting near Jesus was breaking the law. And Jesus responding him, and Jesus touching him, stretching out. He touched leprosy, but he was not infected with it. How willing Jesus was to take your needs. How willing Jesus is to take your needs. You have to see this. I am willing. You know, you and I think that what I want is what's fair. You know, I often talk about this. God is not fair, God is just. What you want is how you think God would be if he was fair. If you were fair, God, you would give me what I want. No, my friend, God is just and he will take care of your need. He will take care of your need. Let's look for a minute at this about Paul. Paul wrote the Philippian book in the year 61. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians in the year 55. So 6 years before he wrote this verse, this is what Paul went through. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger and death. Did Paul have some needs? You better believe it. First of all, he had to be healed. Help me not to get an infection. Help me to stop bleeding. Give me strength. I can't do this. I was beaten times without number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you imagine? I've never been beaten for Christ. I've never been in prison for Christ. 5 times I received the Jews, 39 times. He remembered that. No, not to be funny. He remembered that. 5 times he got the whip from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. You know what that is? From the Romans, probably. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. You think this guy has needs? You think this guy has needs? Forget what I want. Let's just get what I need. A night and a day I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I mean, goodness, where was this guy safe? You know where he was safe? When he was among the believers in a little upper room and they supplied his needs and he said, having food and raiment, I'll be content. I have been in labor and in hardship through many sleepless nights. I've only had sleepless nights because I went to bed late. In hunger and thirst, often without food, often without food. I mean, listen to this man. This man was such a pioneer that the food was not the issue. The hotel was not the issue. The comfort was not the issue. The mission was the issue. In cold and exposure. I've never been in exposure. My wife's been a little cold. That's why we're here in Arizona. We're here the reason you're here. Don't laugh at me, I laugh at you. We know why we're here. Ah, la sole, la sun. Okay. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Now, I brought this in because I want to bring this up later, but apart from all these external concerns, outside of, as I'm going about and doing this, verse 15, I experience verse 16. Remember that, Acts 9? As I was doing Acts 9:15, God is fulfilling what he said to me about Acts 9:16. I wish he didn't say that, but that's what he said to me. And all these things are these external concerns. There's a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Look what he writes in the year 66. This is his last letter. He's about to be beheaded. So again, I want to show you. Don't look at the verse. Look at me for a minute. 61 is the God will supply all my needs. 55 is all of these experiences that he's documenting. He had authority to write these things because he experienced them through all of his life that he wrote 6 years earlier. 5 years after that, in the year 66, he writes his last letter. Now you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, suffering. Notice the progression here. If he'd say, Lord, you know, follow my persecutions. Hey, no. Follow my teaching. Good. Follow my conduct. Good. Follow my purpose. Good. Follow the faith. Good. Follow have patience. Follow love. Follow perseverance. If I can, follow persecution. Not for me. Follow suffering. Not for me. Such has happened to me. Now he recalls these things. Notice, look. Such has happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Wow. Praise the Lord is right. Out of them all the Lord rescued me. Wow. Out of them all the Lord rescued me. What does he say? This is in the same book, chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4:6. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon. I'm ready. The Lord has delivered me of all these things. And if he doesn't deliver me from the axeman's head, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have done what he has told me to do, and I fulfilled what he told me to do. And God took care of all my needs. All of my needs. All of my needs. You know, Paul, let me just go back here for a minute. Paul is just spoken about the difficulties he had in 2 Corinthians 11. And then 2 Corinthians 12, you know that he talks about an amazing revelation he had. You know, he was taken up to the third heavens and he saw things that he could not even utter, he couldn't document. Paul, you know, these extremes, he had these tremendous low points and discouragement, and yet God raised him up to high points in that way. And so he saw these amazing things and revelations. He saw things. He said, I can't imagine to say what I saw in the third heaven. Because of the surpassing greatness, 2 Corinthians 12, of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. He says, you know what God did? He said, I'm going to show you great and wonderful things, Paul, amazing things, but just for your need to keep you from thinking that you are something when you're not something. I am something. Only one person should have an ego. That's Jesus Christ. You don't need an ego with your husband or your wife. You don't need to be right with your husband or wife. You don't need to be right with your daughter or your son-in-law. Put away your ego. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Only one person should have an ego. That's Jesus Christ. So he says, to keep me from exalting myself. Look, I'm really something. I've written 13 books of the Bible. I've been the first missionary. God says, something you need, Paul. You need a trial. You need a thorn in the flesh. That's not very helpful, is it? No, that's not very pleasant. You may think, Lord, this trial that I have, this is not pleasant. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might leave me. Three times he pleaded, Lord, Lord, please, please take this thorn away from me. Take it away from me. It's hurting me. It's buffeting me. I can't do this. I can't. Help me. I need your help. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is enough. You're taken care of. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. That's what God said to him. Then Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I mean, that's a powerful truth. Lord, please take it away. I've learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson. He says, what I'm giving to you and taking care of you, it's taking care of it, Paul. Just trust me. Believe me. Remember, 5 years later, he writes, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Remember, that this is written 5 years before. 5 years before. My friend, God is committed to you in Christ. God's made a covenant with you in Christ. God will supply all your needs. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to question it. He will do it. How much he wants to care for us and help us and guide us if we're willing to listen and we're willing to respond and we're willing to receive. But he's committed to you. My God will supply all of your needs. You know, he that spared not his son but delivered him up for us all, how will he also not freely with him give us all things? How much do you love me, Jesus Christ? How much do you love me? The cross. Therefore, I'm content with weakness and insults and distress, with persecutions. Goodness gracious. Is this guy insane? No. I am content with weakness, with insults, with distress and persecution. Gee. With difficulties? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is an insane man talking. This is an insane man. I am content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because his confidence that God would supply all of his needs. That was his confidence. God would take care of him. I am an overwhelming conqueror through him who loved me. I'm convinced that neither death, nor hell, nor principalities, nor powers, nor any created things in heaven and earth will separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You realize how powerful these words are when you think of the context. God is going to supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Then he says this to us, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches. How rich is God? What does God have at his disposal to respond to you, to meet your needs, to take care of you? May I tell you, infinite upon infinite upon infinitum. If you and I only realize how many of having what I call spiritual antennas and seeing how many ways, how many times God has encouraged us and God has guided us and God has made a phone call or God has made a thought from him or God has opened up his word or God has given us strength for an hour or God has given us a leading and God has, you know, he says when he's talking about, you know, people are talking about, you know, offering up sacrifice to God. He says, sacrifice, sacrifice. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. If I won sacrifice, I could go out and slaughter 1,000 hills of cattle. Because they're all mine. They're all mine. You don't know what I have at my disposal. Do you know how many ways God can respond to us? Here Paul is talking about money. He was in need and there was some money. Let me show you another thing that happened to Paul. This is a long passage, but I'm going to go through it very slowly. 1 Thessalonians 3, 1. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer. So he's saying, I was anxious about something. I had a need. I was concerned. I couldn't take it any longer. We thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. Let's read on. And we send Timothy, our beloved and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. The situation is here. They were hearing about persecution in the church in Thessalonica, and they were afraid they were going to all give up the faith. That was the point. There's persecution. There's persecution now going on in the Hewas. Maybe all this work that we've prayed for and these people coming to Christ and reading the Bible, it may all be thrown away in about 2 days. And they were hurt about that. Paul says, I can't take it anymore. They need help. They're being persecuted. We couldn't take it anymore. So he sent Timothy, our brother. Timothy, go there. Go there. Get on the plane. Go there. Help these brethren. Help these brethren. I can't take it anymore. We may lose the fight there. The devil may win there in Thessalonica. We send our brother Timothy, God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions, because they were afflicted. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. I told you, young people, when you come to Christ, that you're going to have persecution. The Roman government will be against us. The Caesar will be against us. The Jews will be against us. The devil will be against us. That's why he said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, I could endure it no longer. Twice again, he says it. I can't endure it any longer. I also sent to him to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Remember, he said a concern for me was the churches. Remember that verse? 2 Corinthians 11:28. He had these bombings and he had this terrorism and he had the beatings. And he says, but you want to know what's another concern for me? Every church, the concern for the church. God, I have this need. I'm concerned for the church in Thessalonica. So perhaps our labor was in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think about kindly of us, longing to see us just as we as long to see you. For these brethren, in all of our distress and our affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. Wow, thank you, Almighty God. You took care of my need. You know how encouraging it is. Sometimes the book of Proverbs says a word spoke amply is like a letter from a far off land is like water to a parched mouth. You know, how many ways God has for you and to me that God can respond to us and take care of us and encourage us. For now we really live. We're really living now, brethren. The Thessalonica church has held on. They are in faith in Christ. If you stand, stand firm in the Lord. Let's read on. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith, may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people. I mean, if they were gone apostate and they were destroyed as a church, he ain't writing these words. He says, these are the best words I've written. The Lord caused you to increase. Well, you can't increase if there's nothing to add to. They're already dead. It's minus. It's finished. Increase, abound in love for one another, for all the people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame and holiness before our God. Boy, this guy's going on now. Woo-hoo. Our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. What an amazing chapter. The whole thing is that Paul says, I was about to freak out. And God knew I couldn't take this anymore. I can't take this anymore. So I sent Timothy, and what he brought to me when he came in, he says, rejoice, you don't have cancer. Rejoice, the little indication on your breast is not cancer. The thing that you have there, it's not going to be cancer. The thing, it's not. Oh, my goodness. your wayward son for 40 years has come to Christ. Oh my goodness. Has come to Christ. Last night I was watching just a little TV and I saw an interview with Michael Jordan's mother. Did any of you happen to see that on TV? She lives here in the Valley for about 7 years. Michael Jordan's mother. I heard she was a believer, but she's a believer. She has 5 kids. Boy, this woman knows Jesus Christ, I'll tell you that. And lives for Jesus Christ and has served Jesus Christ. And talked about the death of her husband and how the Lord helped her in that. And amazing things she says, that God has a purpose for everything. And oh my goodness, I was pretty impressed. And she has a daughter who's going to Moody right now and another person who's sold out for the Lord. And here's Michael Jordan who's not walking with Christ. What's going to happen if Michael Jordan comes to Jesus Christ? This woman's going to say, oh, your trophies are great, but Jesus Christ is great. You understand what I'm saying? You think she's prayed for him for years? You think she's still praying him for a year? You understand? God has a million ways, a billion ways to take care of you. He also has a billion ways to correct you. You know my story. Once I didn't give my tithe one Sunday, the car didn't start the next day. I owed God $70 and it was $75 to get my car fixed. God's saying, I'm getting the money, brother. I'm getting the money. You don't tithe? Why did you get sick that week? Now, I'm not telling you you're getting sick because you're sinful. I'm only telling you, just the way we look at other aspects, look at how many ways with spiritual antennas and seeing the smallest things, God will take care of us. Look at this. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience? The riches of God's kindness. God's not just kind one way. The riches of his kindness, the riches of his tolerance, the riches of his patience, not knowing the kindness of God will lead you to repentance, Ephesians 2:4. But God being rich in mercy. People says, God's not fair. My friend, if God was fair, we'd all be consumed. That's how God, if God was fair, we'd all be smoke. Because God's mercy is the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. If God was fair, he would give us what we deserved. But because it says in wrath, remember mercy, he sees Jesus Christ and he doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we don't deserve, which is grace. And God is rich in mercy. Imagine God forgiving you of sins you don't even know you've committed. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace. How rich is God's grace? It's the riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Jesus talked about the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. Here is a rich God who doesn't deceive us. But on God who richly supplies us with all things richly to enjoy, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of what is life indeed. Life indeed. Remember the example of Moses, that Moses would rather choose ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Consider the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of heaven. Here's the treasures of heaven. Here's the world. Here's the power. Here's the glory. And here is the people of God. And the riches that are in God. Which one do I take? See, that's the evil of what is in the world. What do I take? I take the power or I take humility? I take temporal pleasure, I take eternal commitment. Look, rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, consider the reproach of Christ greater riches than the... How many ways does God have that he can take care of us and look after us? How does God have all these things at his disposal? God's the resource of it. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment. How unfathomable his ways. Those are the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. My friend, if you see how willing God is, and you see that he's the source of all this, and how much he has at his disposal, don't think small. Start to open up your eyes. Like the battlemen with Joshua, he says, who am I? I am the warrior for the Lord. Let my servant see. Now, it's not Elijah, it was Elisha. Who is this? He's the angel of the Lord to fight for us. To see how way God does take care and God does supply. And then you go back to this passage, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, it's all centered again about Jesus Christ. Let's look at the verses. I am doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will give us everything we need to do what he wants us to do in Christ. Casting all your burdens upon the Lord, Christ, because he cares for us. And now God is supplying all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My friend, that's why you and I were put in Christ, because Christ is the source of all of these truths and blessings. There's only one source. I've said this, I love my wife dearly. I love my three children dearly, but my wife is not life. My three children are not life. Life is only found in one place. I have the water, Jesus said, of eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. He that comes to me and believes in me, in his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The supply only comes through one thing. It comes through God's Son, Jesus Christ, in whom the fullness of God dwelt fully. He is the source. The source. The source. It is all in Christ. So he put us in Christ. That's why we're in Christ. Notice, all the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. That's why we have things through Christ. That's why we do things with Christ. Christ died, I died with Christ. Christ was raised, I was raised with Christ. Christ at the right hand of God, I'm raised at the right hand of God with him. Where Christ is, I am. Crucified with him, dead with him, resurrected with him, ascended with him, the right hand of God with him. Because that's my life. That's the source of life. My friend, the answer is, it's a person, not an it. Your answer is not an it, it's a person. The answer is not, where do I find it to help me in my need? It's in a person. The source of this is a person. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's a mouthful there. Who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So he says he comforts us in our affliction, that we're going to be able to comfort other people in their affliction with the comfort that we got originally from the blessings and the comfort we got. Now read on. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also the comfort is abundant through Christ. Notice, the comfort is abundant through Christ. And then this is the verse that just makes me think of the whole thing in a nutshell. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good work. Let's read that again. God is able to make all grace abound to you. God is always the point of a new beginning, my friend. It's never too late to do what's right. It's never too late to look to the source. It's never too late. It's only 22 days into January. You still have 11 months and a week for 2006. God is able to make all grace abound to you. It's there. And always having all sufficiency. I have enough. I have enough. It's sufficient. You may have an abundance in every good deed. My friend, I am, you are, having all of your needs, supplied according to the riches in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning because if life was easy, we would need you. But we complicate our lives. We get confused, discouraged. We're uncertain. We're of the earth. We are mortal. We are temporal. But we fix our eyes upon the truth of the eternal. We fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ. We put all of our eggs in his basket and realize that he is the source and the originator and the one. In him is all that we need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's all I need. And so, my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you how willing God is to take care of your need this coming year by his grace. Cast your burden upon him. Share your need with him. Look at the smallest and the biggest responses that he will give to you, and he will supply your needs. My friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need Christ. Don't try to fix your marriage. Don't try to fix your job. Don't try to fix your economics. Don't try to fix your mother-in-law or son or daughter. You need Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then Jesus Christ will give you the supply for all of these needs. Father, bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to have. Please greet one another in his love. Pick up a directory and enjoy courtyard fellowship.